Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
So good to see all of you. Thank you. Oh, good thing. I don't have a Father's Day message because I'm a father. And usually on Father's Day, they have maybe the mother to give a message or a daughter or a son. But today I'm speaking, so I just came back from China 10 days ago, and so I'm still in a jet lag fog. You know, when you get older, it takes a lot longer to recover. Anyway, I came back from Xinjiang, and for those of you who don't know, it's a predominant Muslim area of China that is next to Afghanistan and Pakistan and Kazakhstan and all the stands. And that's where we served for 15 years before coming back. And there has been much killing and bombings in that area. My main purpose in going there is to see how the missionary agency that I belong to can help Osman. Osman was a former Muslim who became an evangelist and church leader to reach his people, the Uyghurs, for Christ. And he was someone that I had the privilege of discipling. And the number of Uyghurs, Christians, continue to grow despite the opposition of their own Muslim community and also the oppression by the police. And in March, while in Bangkok, Thailand, I asked a few friends from Xinjiang whether I should go there or not. And they all advised me not to go because of it's too dangerous. I'm not worried about the dangers from terrorists. I was more concerned about the danger from the police. And by something like Skype over there, I got in contact with Osman, and I asked him whether I should come and see him. And he said, by all means, come. So in spite of everybody who says not to come, he says to come. So I went. And when I went in the beginning of June, I was shocked that he wasn't there. A month before I went, he disappeared. His wife and family didn't know where he was. And to be sure, he was taken by the police. And that is the modus operandi. They don't come to your house to arrest you. They grab you while you're on the street so that nobody knows where you are. And just like what they used to do by the Gestapo and by the KGB. And even though I wasn't able to see Osman, I was able to talk to and to encourage Osman's wife, Norgu, and Alim's wife, Gunor. Alim is in prison for a 15-year sentence for preaching the gospel. He has 5 more years to go. I'm telling you all this to show you that in some parts of the world, believing in Jesus is no fun and games. And it really is a serious business. And sure enough, I had good reasons to fear the police. After a couple of days in Xinjiang, I became a person of interest. My computer and phone was blocked. I could still receive messages, but I could not send out. I could not use my phone. But fortunately, my colleague's phone and computer wasn't blocked, so I was able to communicate with other people. While living in China for 15 years before, I was working with an illegal underground church. However, there are churches operating in the open, but these are controlled by the communist government. There's no Sunday school. The atheistic government doesn't want young minds to be contaminated by superstition. And so they don't allow any religious activities outside of the four walls of the church. And where I live in Xinjiang, they don't allow anyone below 18 years to attend church services. In the free world where we live, we sometimes don't appreciate the privilege that we have to freely worship and to serve God. And today, I'd like you to turn to Philippians 3:7-11. I know I had given you some other passages, from 12-14, but 7-11 is also very good. And if you turn to the Bible, to your Bible, in the Bible or in your cell phone, you can turn to Philippians chapter 3 and see verses 7-11. And it reads, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead." In these verses, the Apostle Paul tells of his desire and aspiration. He counts everything that he has attained or has as garbage in comparison to really knowing the glorious Lord Jesus. That was how Paul felt after Jesus turned his life around. Before his encounter with the Lord Jesus, he was a man full of rage and anger, persecuting the church and dragging Christians into prison. Afterwards, his desire was to give his all to Jesus, since knowing him was the greatest joy of his life. He lost everything, status, reputation, wealth, for the sake of Jesus, to gain a righteousness that is from God and not from following the Jewish law. Not only did he want to know Christ intimately and to experience the power of his resurrection, but he also wants to participate in suffering, and even dying for the Lord himself. Paul did not take for granted concerning his salvation. He pursued and acted as though he's still in the process of being saved. How do you feel about Jesus in your life? Osman told me when he tried to be a good Muslim, as he was taught from his youth, he felt like he was living in hell. When he came to Jesus, he felt liberated, and the joy of the Lord filled his heart. He wanted to live and serve the Lord. He went around the region preaching and encouraging his fellow Muslim Uyghurs to turn to Christ. Even as he was put into a labor camp for his faith, he shared the gospel to Muslim extremists and drug addicts. After coming out of labor camp, he continued to proceed to proclaim Jesus in his community. By his acts, Osman showed that Jesus was worth more than anything that he counted as being important. And by his deeds, he showed his faith in Jesus is not just merely talk, but action. And for myself, even though I was a Christian since I was 24 years old, for quite a while, I took my identity as being what I was doing as a living. I looked at myself as an engineer, then as chief executive officer of a company. I did not see myself first as a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. I became proud, thinking that I was better than other people. Then during 4 months of my life, when I was unemployed without a job, I felt I was nothing. I finally realized that I was nothing without Jesus. That was the beginning of a spiritual revival in my life. I told Jesus, I don't care what I do. Even if I work as a janitor, I want to live for you and I want to serve you. And God humbled me to make me see what I really am, made me to see that I was nothing without Jesus. My identity now is in Jesus, not in what I do for a living. And I'd like to read to you Philippians 3, 12 to 14. So if you look at your Bible, verse 12 says, not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal of winning the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul tells us what he will continue to do. To achieve his goal of gaining Christ, he will press on to take hold of the Lord, just as the Lord has taken hold of me. In other words, Jesus had taken hold of him. Now he seeks to take a hold of Christ. He says, one thing I do. What is the one thing that he would do? He presses on. He focuses his life to press on. What is he pressing on to? He presses on to gain Christ, to know Jesus in a more personal, profound way, and to also experience his resurrection power. To do this, the one thing to do, Paul forgets his past and strains forward to gain the prize that is waiting for him in Christ Jesus. The prize is not specified. I believe the prize actually is Christ himself. In heaven, to be in Christ and he in us, that would be the greatest joy of all. What is the one thing that you would do? There are many things that we need to do. But what is the one thing that you make sure you do? This is not a matter of attitude, not a way of thinking, but a matter of action. The focused life is to look to Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith, and he is our life. And so we face the future by straining forward eagerly, anticipating to obey and to do God's agenda, to do his will. It doesn't matter If you are studying to be a doctor, teacher, engineer, or Indian chief, we are to push forward with the purpose of living for the Lord. That's our purpose. Remember, your identity is not tied to what you do for a living. Your identity is that you are a child of the King. You belong to Jesus, and you are to live for Him and to serve Him. God's words really resonate in my heart. And this is what Paul says. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For whose sake I have lost everything, I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but from that which is through Christ, through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His suffering, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Does this desire touch your heart? For me, knowing Christ, knowing Jesus personally, is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. He has given me meaning and purpose in my life. In looking back, I can see how the Lord has blessed me, disciplined me, and also kept me out of danger, both physically and morally. Great is the Lord Jesus Christ. What about you? How has God's word impacted you? How has Jesus touched your life? Most of all, I know that you are young and just starting your journey to experience the reality and goodness of the Lord. Do you know how you can keep yourself out of trouble? The best way is to keep God's word in your heart, particularly Psalm 119, verses 9-11. And it says, how can a young man, and for that matter, a young woman, keep his or her way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. And that's my Father's word to my children. And so will you focus your life to really know Jesus and to follow after Him? No matter what you do in life, no matter what you have to do, will you focus on making Jesus the center of your life? Let Jesus transform you. Let Him empower you to live a life that has meaning, joy, purpose, and without regrets. Will you make it your lifelong quest to know Jesus, your Savior and Lord? If you do, may the joy of the Lord be your strength. Let us pray. Father, we pray that your word will not go out and return void, that it would impact our lives and change us and help us to be more like you. Oh, Lord Jesus, really make your home in our hearts and transform us day by day, so that we become more like you. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.